You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
This is the Classic Auto Mall Show. Broadcast from the studios inside the Classic Auto Mall in Morgantown, Pennsylvania. Just 1 hour west of Philadelphia at Pennsylvania Turnpike exit 298. Featuring nearly 1,000 classic, vintage, and barn find vehicles for sale under one climate controlled roof. Now, here's your host, Classic Auto Mall president and the man with all the toys, Stuart Howden.
Well, here we are on another beautiful sun. No, it's not a beautiful sunny day. It's raining.
It's raining. The arc is almost done.
Yeah.
We're consigning
one. If you hear a in the background, you'll know that it's the rain hitting our tin roof, which is, like, you know, very quiet.
Hot tin roof.
It's a cat on a hot, raining cats and dogs or a cat on a hot tin roof, right? Show number 135. Here we are. We had a great guest lined up today, and his doctor could finally get in. He could get in to see his doctor and blah, blah, blah.
Right,
and
right.
So it was one of those things that it was a great excuse. It wasn't my dog stole my homework. It was actually a legitimately good excuse. We all know as we get older that doctor's appointments are very important. JR, our producer, is out today because his doctor's retiring. It's the last time he gets to see him.
Right. And, so, you know, you can't just get one overnight anymore.
No. You got to get a referral. The old referral. So I don't quite understand that because all my doctor's office does is go, hey, can I get a referral? Hey, they call the other doctor and say, can Stuart come see you? Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Is there a middleman reason for that? Can I not pick up the phone and
I
do
don't
that?
Know.
We had to do that, those things. Kathy goes back to her doctor this week
okay.
for her broken, fractured fibula.
Continuing
tibula.
Saga of Kathy's shoulder ski accident.
Man, she has held it together at work amazingly well for the past couple of weeks. I mean, to have your dominant arm, broken shoulder in two places, to wear a sling all day long, the way she has to operate and do a mouse and keyboard and all that is crazy.
There's a lot of things we do with our dominant hand that
yeah.
would be really
unscrew
difficult.
A water bottle.
Yeah.
You know, you got one. You can't do it one-handed.
The little things.
There was a guy who used to perform in Branson, Missouri, who had no arms and he played guitar with his feet.
Right,
and it was amazing.
That is amazing.
Yeah, I mean, he was
you compensate.
Yeah, and he drove a car. He would open his door with his. He would lift his foot up and open the door, and then his steering wheel was a round. Disc where your brake pedal would be or down in the footwell, and he would move it to steer it. So with his feet, he would, it seemed a little dangerous, but
they compensate. Like
they compensate.
The other senses take over
absolutely.
And all that thing. So
absolutely.
It's amazing.
Speaking of Branson, my son was reelected to the Ward 1 alderman last night
nice.
By a landslide, 65 to 34, 65 point something percent to 34 point something percent.
That's a win.
We'll take it. He was worried the weather was rough and, you know, bad weather and cold and windy keeps people from coming out mm-hmm. to an alderman election. It's not like, it's like, oh, I didn't get to vote at the all. Oh, well, you know, people have that tendency to
sure.
do that and then complain about things because of it. So,
because
they didn't vote, you know,
got it.
So, like I said, show number 135, thanks to the Pat Travers Band for our theme music, as usual. How many cars do you think we have in inventory?
Pretty light out there.
It is a little light.
I'm getting a little bit, not concerned, but it's like, feels very empty, even though we're probably at 980.
Very good. 974.
Okay.
So, and you know, it's getting to be, I think, more manageable. I'm not concerned about the inventory, being a little bit less than it was. I think we were at 1115 was the capacity, the most we've ever had mm-hmm. in here. And, it was too many. And we've said this, and it's nice that it's, getting to be a more manageable amount.
According to some staff, we're about to get when the weather clears,
yeah, they're going to
we'll get hit.
Yeah, we're going to get bombarded. There's no question about it. And if you don't know the news, we're now on WWDB Talk Radio 860 and 97.5 HD2.
That's right.
Which is confusing to me.
Randy explained it to me. Showed me his his radio in his car. It makes total sense.
Got
right
HD.
Now.
Yeah. Understand? I don't remember the last time I listened to anything AM or FM. It's either Sirius or my iPod.
Mm-hmm.
So, but part of the Beasley Media Group, and we'll be broadcasting from there. It's at 7 a.m. on Saturdays,
right?
So this will be the first time you'll hear this show anywhere is 7 a.m. on Talk 860 or 97.5 HD2 in Philly.
That's right. We follow Clean and Sober, which is a great show about addiction. And then after us comes the Bloomers in the Garden, which has been running for a long time.
The home show?
It's a garden show.
Garden show.
Right. So if you're
our core audience.
A lot of our car guys like to garden, and, you know, a lot of retirees like
to garden.
Yeah,
I like to garden. I do too. Okay. My wife's kind of got me into it.
You know, very nice landscape.
Yes. We got neighbor envy yard. So anyway, where did we sell cars this week, you asked?
Right.
Did you ask that?
No, but
of course you didn't.
I don't have to. ESP send it to you.
How about Batesville, Mississippi, Cleveland, Ohio, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, Broadway, Virginia, Woodstock, Virginia, Lincoln University, Pennsylvania, Glenmore, Pennsylvania, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, Whitehall, Pennsylvania, St. Clair Shores, Michigan, Coatesville, Pennsylvania, Evans, Colorado, Beaufort, I got that right, South Carolina, because I've been there, Fleetwood, Pennsylvania, Timonium, Maryland, Medford, New Jersey, Benicia, California, Severn, Maryland, San Antonio, Texas, El Centro, California, Columbia, Maryland, North Falmouth, Massachusetts, North Augusta, South Carolina, Walton, New Jersey, and Brick, New Jersey, because she's a brick
house. So I think I got it right, about 13 or 14 states. So
13 or 14.
Pretty amazing.
So,
Benicia, California.
Yeah, 25 vehicles sold this week.
Amazing.
Not too shabby for a bunch of hillbillies.
That's right.
In Pennsylvania.
In the farm town.
So, and some of the new inventory we've gotten in is really amazing. And the guy who's writing those descriptions.
Well, once again, is there an applause thing here?
There is.
A cha-ching or something?
There is an applause. There's all kinds of things. There's a crowd cheer, clapping, cha-ching, ding, ooh, drum roll.
Well, it's a grind, but I enjoy it. And I'm learning a lot about cars because you really do have to. I mean, I don't know it.
Right.
A little bit about most cars, but really getting into the weeds about the history of some of these cars, a pretty amazing thing, or how rare they are. Even the owners sometimes don't know how uncommon or rare the car was.
It's surprising that when we write a description on cars, a lot of times a guy will call and say, I had no idea that my car was that, or I had no idea that it was, these were the available options, or had no idea that it was a limited production.
Yeah, I rode a 68 Cadillac yesterday. It's beautiful. Coupe, sent to Sedan DeVille. And I'm just curious, how many colors were available in 1960s? It's a 66, actually.
Right.
20 colors, 20 exterior colors. What car today has 20 options in color? There's not, right?
And I love the names of the colors. That's why I always put them down on my featured new arrivals.
Yeah.
Because we don't make up these names. When it's, Nassau Blue, like one of the Corvettes we're featuring today, we didn't just come up with that.
Right.
That's the name of the color.
Sometimes it's three names. It's something gold, metallic.
Right.
And
Or tricolors. Look at some of the 50s car brochures, and they had three colors exterior and three colors interior. Mm-hmm. So it was like red, gray, and white interior over a red and white exterior.
Yeah, and that's the other thing I'm doing is going back and looking at old brochures, old dealer brochures for specific cars, 57 Chevy, 66 Cadillac. It's really amazing how the writing in those brochures
it's prose.
It's poetic, really.
Very poetic, and especially if you read the Cadillac ones from back in the day. Those things were very
lofty, I said, in the description. This is lofty prose.
Lofty prose. There's a big word for you. Not many people know what that is, but that's okay.
They are very proud. And, of course, Cadillac in the 60s and 70s was the car.
You'd say the
king.
Yeah, if you said the best boat in the world, you'd say the Cadillac of boats.
That's right.
Or you'd say the Cadillac of bicycles or the Cadillac of whatever.
These were the Cadillac of cars.
Yeah, we were and Cadillac was a big, big deal back then.
Mm-hmm.
And still are to some degree, but it's a different world, although they're making some great performance stuff.
Sure.
That Black Hawk series.
Black Wing.
Mm-hmm. Did I say Black Hawk?
Yeah.
That's also one of those helicopters that has the weapons on
sure it.
So, it's not that. And, of course, the Escalade is still being built. Mm-hmm. Now it's like $300,000.
Right. No, it's pumping out some horsepower, too, right?
I think
they have a high-performance version of the...
Yeah. They do. And, of course, a lot of people are taking those Escalades and Suburbans and making them into, not limousines, it would be not the proper term for it, but cars that somebody drives you in that you can relax going to work in.
Yeah.
So it's got the reclining seats in the back, the big screen TV, it's the satellite, this and that. It's got everything.
Whereas celebrities in the 60s and 70s, like Elvis, I think of Elvis, he always had big Cadillacs, like the DeVille we have. nowadays, celebrities, it's all about the black SUVs.
Yeah, it's a black Suburban, you know, or something big and
they're all over LA.
All over LA.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
and all of them have all-wheel drive or four-wheel drive, and not one of them have ever seen, you know,
No, they never will.
Unless they get in a mud hole coming out of Malibu or something.
That's right. Completely blacked out. And,
and of course, I mean, outfitted.
Yeah. Yeah,
unbelievable. I mean, right. You take an Escalade, and it's got a little taller roof. It's got a tracking satellite dish that you can watch, you know, all the current things on Dish or Direct or whoever it is you get your satellite TV from. And these things are, they're $200 and $300. I was kidding when I said the ones from Cadillac are $300, but it's not kidding on some of the customized. Becker, I think, is one of the companies that customizes these things. Mm-hmm. And these things are state of the art inside. And then, of course, the Mercedes Sprinter vans, people are doing those as well, too.
Oh, yeah.
And those things are decked out. I mean, you talk about the limousine for the current era. Because if you think about a limousine, to get into a limousine, especially one of those really long ones with like the J-shaped seat,
right.
You're like crawling along on the floor to get there. It's not
you can't stand up. That's
you can't stand up, and it's not very elegant the way you have to get in. Now you walk into a Sprinter van, and it's got leather reclining chairs, and you can stand up and walk, and there's a bathroom in the
back. Oh, yeah, we have a Mercedes.
We do. Absolutely.
It's not a Sprinter. I don't know what they call it, but I would totally live in that thing.
You could totally live in it. Maybe Garrett is. Little inside joke there.
So, anyway,
we're at the right amount for inventory right now. And some of the new inventory in as of late is the 1969 Jaguar XKE 2 plus 2 Coupe. Now, of course, in the pecking order of Jaguar XKEs or E-types, the convertible would be first and then the 2 plus 2 would be second. However, this thing, multiple Concours winner, Jaguar Club honors, numbers matching drivetrain, the Heritage Trust certificate telling you what it came with when it came from the factory, and a near flawless restoration. This thing, somebody spent, I don't know, but it's garnered first place awards at Greenwich, Meadowbrook, Radnor, and then, you know, the Jaguar Club aforementioned, and, of course, having all the detailed records and receipts, it's so important. I'm going to harp on this until the day I die. Mm-hmm. Save every piece of paper that comes with every car you buy, whether it's a brand new car. I don't care if it's a Kano Box, Yugo. Do they make Yugo anymore? No.
They don't make it, but if you save the papers from it, they might be worth
something valuable. But save everything. Every little dealer delivery thing, everything you get. Mm-hmm. And then when you buy a car from somebody or you buy it at an auction, make sure you save the sticker that they put in the window that has all the description of the car, because that stuff can get lost.
Absolutely.
And all of a sudden, you literally have guys who will come in here and say, I don't know what size my engine is in my car. And it's not because they're stupid or we're not going to say, oh, you're not a car guy. You don't know what you're talking about. No. They don't know because they don't know. Is it a 327 or a 350 or a 383 stroker? Have they done something? I mean, you don't know what's been done to it. And if you don't have any kind of paper trail or any kind of records of it, it makes it very difficult to sell.
Yeah, it's more often that they don't have the paperwork or information.
Absolutely.
Or maybe they just picked it up from a neighbor or an uncle or something like that.
Or an estate. And the stuff that's important is in the attic and nobody knows it. Nobody's bothering
that's
to look.
Right.
And, you know, that's their thing and that's okay. I think when you look at value of cars, certainly when you see all the boxes of paperwork that go with some of them, like the Don Long Dragster that we're going to talk about here in a minute.
The Classic Auto Mall is like going to the greatest indoor car showroom in the country. With more than 1,000 classic and collectible vehicles for sale via consignment in our 8-acre climate-controlled showroom, we've got something for everyone. We're open to the public most days. Plus, you can easily search our inventory online at classicautomall.com. Buying and selling via consignment is safe, easy, and secure. Plus, we advertise, sell, and ship worldwide. Find your dream classic vehicle at classicautomall.com.
Since the 1960s, J.C. Taylor has been America's premier specialty insurance provider for classic cars, antique autos, modified, and custom vehicles. Our customers have trusted us to protect their prized possessions for more than 6 decades. For more information, or to receive a quote, contact our expert team today by calling 888-ANTIQUE, or by visiting our website at jctaylor.com/AWR. That's 888-268-4783. Or visit jctaylor.com/AWR. drive through time with peace of mind. J.C. Taylor.
If you love classic cars, you're going to want to listen to the Classic Car Show with Tom Cox and Richard Lentinello on America's Web Radio. Live every Saturday at 9 a.m. Eastern at americaswebradio.com or on demand on your favorite podcast app.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the americasbroadcastnetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
We're back with the Classic Auto Mall Show from the Classic Auto Mall Studio in Morgantown, Pennsylvania. And we're calling it a show now, not a podcast.
We are a show. We're official radio show. We're a YouTube channel.
We're everywhere.
We're everywhere.
We're podcast, radio, and YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way we like to...
We're heard around the world. So if you're interested and you're listening locally in Philadelphia and you're interested in maybe buying a little commercial time, we're open to that. Contact us at podcast@classicautomall.com.
Yeah. And don't forget our website is classicautomall.com. And you can see all of our inventory, 900 and however many I said, 74. In there, unless Kathy sold a few since we've been in here, which she may have done.
Yep. And if you're in the Philadelphia area, take a ride out. It's 45 minutes. It's free admission.
You got a layover.
It's a rainy day. What else are you going to do?
Yeah, you got a layover in Philly,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden you're stuck there for a day or half a day even. Come see us.
And if you know Jay Leno, we'd love to have him on. He's coming here to perform in May in Reading. Yeah. And so if you know him.
Yeah, reach out to him and tell him we'd like to speak to him. Our people.
Want him to come visit the place.
Yeah, we're not asking him to be on the podcast.
Right.
I wouldn't know what to ask him anyway. That somebody hadn't already asked him a million times.
It would be great just for you two to walk around, and I would shoot that, and that would be a lot of fun.
That would be fun, just to walk around and look at the cars and make comments about them and things like that, which is my most fun thing that I do, and I don't get to do very often. Mm-hmm. And last week, a buddy of mine was in from Rhode Island, Newport, and we walked around, and I was like, wow, you know, look at all these cars that I haven't really seen. I mean, I've seen them, and I see them when they go online,
sure,
and all that, but I don't really see them.
Yeah.
And so what was interesting was that the conversations that we were having, I thought about what you just said, and I thought, man, we should be recording this, even if it's just me and a buddy,
mm-hmm.
because it's all, you know, interesting information, and a lot of stuff comes out of it that you'd be surprised about, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Things that somebody knows that maybe we didn't know about, certainly can come out in a conversation like that. And not that he's trying to show off and tell me all he knows about a car. It's just the fact that he knows a lot about this particular car.
That's right.
And even you do all the research in the world, there's still lots of stuff still out there. There's lots of information. I mean, I have books in my office that are,
oh, sure,
you know, 800, 900, 1,000 pages on a Packard. And I guarantee you there's stuff in there that you mm-hmm. won't find on the internet, no matter how hard you look. You know,
and even on the internet, it's like some of the best information is forums where guys who know these cars are talking about it, not so much history pages or books or anything like that. It's the guys talking about it who have a history with these cars that I get a lot of information from.
Well, and a guy like, you know, there's experts in every genre and every field and every type of car. There's Camaro guys and there's Corvette guys, and then there's specific guys. A 1974 this or a 1989 Trans Am and I love it when they do it politely, when they say, hey, you know what? I was reading your description. What a fantastic description you did. Hey, by the way, I think they only made 980 mm-hmm. of these instead of 1,080. And sometimes the wrong information is out there.
That's true.
And we do our best to weed through it and kind of verify and double check and double verify or mm-hmm. whatever. But we can still make a mistake every once in a while. So if you see anything, nicely tell us.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, we're open to that.
Yeah, we are absolutely open to that, because when we're processing as many cars as we process, there's certain things that sometimes could slip through the cracks.
Mm-hmm.
And for no particular reason, did you not turn the heat off? I thought.
It's still going? I must have hit the button.
I think you hit the wrong button. It's the off button. It's only 900 degrees in here.
Power button.
Now, see, you hit it twice. Okay. Easily amused, right, aren't we? Anyway, finishing up on that 69 XKE Jaguar, I mean, this thing is really, they probably spent more than it's worth on restoring it. You know, and that's, you see that a lot with cars, where a guy just restores it because he wants to have the best in the world, or because he wants to recreate something that he didn't have, or that they used to have in their childhood, or that they didn't have and always wanted. And so, you know, if you do it for the love of it, then go for it.
I think that was the case here. He, mm-hmm. he wanted to have the best in the world,
mm-hmm.
or in the country at least, and yeah. it's pretty darn close. Every nut and bolt was taken off this car and polished.
Think about the effort. Yeah. Think of how many parts.
10, 11 years.
Yeah. Think of how many parts are on any particular car.
Yeah.
A 69 Camaro even. That doesn't have all the stuff that the new stuff has. Doesn't have all the heated seats, blah, 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 blah. There are still a gazillion parts on these things and bolts and nuts and screws and springs and, you know, just a carburetor alone has, you know, how many moving parts on a carburetor?
Yeah.
And those guys that rebuild carburetors, by the way, are amazing. I'm so impressed with a guy who can rebuild a carburetor.
Oh, sure.
And just,
you know, when I was a kid, my dad brought me a carburetor. It was clean. Just to play with.
Tear apart. And
yeah, tear apart, put together and all nuts and bolts. There's a lot to a carburetor.
You could do that with clock radios too.
Yeah. Yeah.
You could learn how, you know, a little skill set. You could repair those things.
It didn't pan out to anything.
Do we all still have clock radios in our closets and atticks that don't work that for some reason we haven't thrown away? Of course. Why?
100%.
Why wouldn't
you? Might need it one day.
Yeah. Someday, you know, I'll show you someday when these are, you know, extinct and you need one. And of course they do recommend, they, meaning whoever they are, mm-hmm. to have an AM radio in your house and to have one that can be powered by a crank. Because God forbid Armageddon.
Power goes out.
Or whatever happens. I mean, to be able to not have any communication to the outside world. And a lot of us are like that. When the power goes out at my house, you still have your phone, and if it works through the cellular network and the cellular network is still up, mm-hmm. then you do have a connection to the outside. But God forbid that went down. AM radio might be your only salvation.
Yeah, I have walkie-talkies. I mean, we could do a whole show on prepping.
Right.
Because that's really what that's about, and
right.
being ready for the inevitable.
Plenty of beans.
Beans and rice. Beans and rice.
You're going to live on beans and rice.
Yeah, why not?
Oh, what do we have for breakfast today, Dad? Beans and rice. What about lunch? Beans and rice.
Right.
Dinner? Beans and rice.
It's got good shelf life. Remember to put your beans in the freezer so you kill any microorganisms and bugs and stuff before you store them.
Really?
I'm telling you, we could do a whole, we don't want to go there.
Well, wait a minute. Don't they unfreeze when you put them in the storage unit?
Yeah, they do.
And doesn't the
but they're dry. They're dry.
Ah, so you dry them out.
Pretty much.
Oh, goodness. This is such a side of you I never knew. I didn't know you're a survivalist.
I was watching some video of an engine, like, you know how they do fast motion and they speed it up. And it was, I'm trying to think of what car it was. It was a Ferrari found in Japan or something. And these guys got it really out of a ditch. And this video is them taking it apart. And the amount of parts, I don't know how on earth they kept it organized.
Well, yeah, you need little plastic bags, Ziploc baggies with a little Sharpie.
Wow, it is very
and
intense.
Sped up, it still takes a long time.
I couldn't watch the whole thing.
Right,
it was
right.
Like 13 minutes over a course of a year.
Which was a year's worth of stuff. And it still didn't go that fast. Still, it took 13 minutes.
There's a lot of parts.
There are a lot of parts. And you imagine this Jaguar. I mean, a 1969 Jaguar has got so many different pieces and parts to it, and to redo all the things that you do, to re-chrome things, to repaint things, to
upholstery,
yeah. to polish the wood, the veneer, the tires, the wheels, everything that you can do to these cars. I mean, there's just so many pieces and parts to these things, and it's amazing that they run down the road like they do. You know, it's surprising that you don't see more failure of cars just running down the road, but very rarely anymore.
Mm-hmm.
How many times do you see a car just stop dead
it's
on
true.
The side of the road?
It's
very
true.
Now you see front fascias of a Nissan Sentra laying on the side
still
of the road
hubcaps.
And hubcaps all over Pennsylvania. But
well, to his credit, the consigner actually drove that Jaguar out to us.
Wow.
So about an hour ride.
Yeah.
So the car runs good.
It runs good.
I mean, it really does.
Well, and that's the thing that some of these guys, they restore them to this level, and then they're afraid to drive them.
Yeah, I was surprised that he drove it.
Well, you'd be surprised, I mean, when you go to some of the Cars and Coffees, the mainline Cars and Coffee here, or some of the other events like that, the guys that are getting, you know, cars, and I am so stupidly overprotective about my cars, about driving them in any inclement weather.
In fact,
weather.
You barely drive them. You're so protective.
I'm too protective. It's like suede shoes, I always say. You know, and so you think, oh, my God, it's a chance of rain. Why do I want to take that car if I want to get it messed up or get dirt underneath it or whatever
right.
it is? And, of course, you know, eventually you just keep talking yourself out of driving. I mean, lately it's been raining so much around here that you can't drive anywhere, right?
Well, there's only so much time I have to detail a car. So if it means not driving it in wet ground on wet asphalt, then I'm not going
to
do it.
I'd much rather just have to use the California Duster and not have to do any
That's
of the
exactly
other stuff.
Right.
So. Other new inventory besides the Jaguar, which you've talked about for a whole segment, this will be up your alley.
Thank you.
Well, I wasn't going to say anything different. 2004 BMW Z4 3.0i Roadster, titanium silver metallic over black. It's got a peppy 3.0 liter in line six. Did you write that, Pepe?
Is that your Pepe? Probably.
Pepe?
Maybe.
Desirable six-speed manual.
Yes.
Plush leather seating. Sporting and economical. Very well-kept car, though. These are a lot of fun to drive, as you attest to.
And you, too. You had one.
Yeah, I had one. Yeah, I did. I didn't have it very long. But
they're a lot of fun and sporty, and they're not super high horsepower. Like, I think the 3.0 puts out 170, something like that.
But they feel fast.
But it feels fast because you're on a roller skate.
Yeah, you're on a small car
with a Miata,
very low center of gravity.
Yeah.
And they are a blast to drive. The Miata is a perfect example of low horsepower, but still a lot of fun to drive. It's just one of those cars that, it's even car guys, you know, guys who have Ferraris and stuff get out of a Miata and go, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
You know,
just why they've been in production since 1990, 91,
somewhere in the general vicinity.
We had a Miata club here the other day.
They were looking heavily at that Miata that we have.
The V8.
The yellow V8, which is, listen, more is not always more. Like, for, you know what I mean? The Miata V8 is not for everybody.
That's right.
It's for somebody who wants to be the king of the hill. But most people are satisfied with the performance of the Miata because very reliable. Not that a V8 is not reliable, but the inline six is very reliable, very fuel efficient. And, you know, that's important when gas is $4 a gallon. Right. I don't care if it's your toy or not.
Right.
You get something that gets 6 miles to the gallon. That's painful.
Not all that fun. But, this is also rear-wheel drive, so it's a true roadster, and they're just a blast on the country road or, you know, wide-open road. It's really great, really good highway car as well.
And BMWs are very reliable cars as far as mechanically, you know. There are things that can go wrong on them, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
There are electrical,
a lot of plastic
that gets problematic. It's like some of my Mercedes have the sticky buttons that, you know, that rubber that just starts deteriorating and you touch it and it's like, oh my God, it's like touching a piece of gum. But if you get a chance, check out the BMW, a fantastic car and a great daily driver that we have here. And it's not the only one we have here. We have another BMW. We just a 440, I think we took in just not too long ago as well. Other new inventory, the 1966, we just talked about it a little while ago, Chevrolet Corvette convertible, Nassau blue over bright blue. Fully known history from new, which is really cool if you think about it. I mean, that car is
58 years.
Yeah, too shy of 60. I was alive during this time, so it tells you that I'm old. Impeccable restoration on this car. Numbers matching 327, 350 horse L79 V8. And then the numbers matching M20 Muncie. And it's got both tops. And what does that mean, you say? You know, we say things like that and then we just assume everybody knows what we're talking about. Both tops means that back in the 60s and maybe into the 70s as well, too, on certain cars, Corvettes in particular, you could get both a soft top and a hard top. You didn't have to get the hard top. It was an option. But then you have basically three different cars. You have a coupe, you have a convertible, and then you have a soft top. So you've got three different ways that the car works. The nice thing about the soft top is you're driving along and you come into inclement weather, then you've got something to put back up. If you've left the hard top at home, which you have to do. You can't, you don't really, unless you have a trailer you're carrying around behind you.
Can't carry it.
But what you need with the hard top is the pulley system. Like they have for the Mercedes SLs had those back in the day where it would just pull into your garage and then you'd attach the pulley to four points on the thing and you'd run it up the flagpole and tie it off and pray that it didn't come.
Yeah, and they're fiberglass, so they're pretty light. I remember I picked one up for buyers here. They bought a Corvette, and the hardtop was stored in a barn in Chester County, just quintessential, you know, car guy stuff. And I couldn't find anybody here to help me, so I hoisted that.
You mean our team players weren't jumping right on it?
And it fit into my Lightning bed perfectly.
Well, there you go.
And I carried it myself in. But so they're pretty light. And
when we return, we'll try to get through the rest of our inventory if we can possibly do that on the Classic Auto Mall show from the Classic Auto Mall studio. We'll see you in a couple minutes.
Whether you want to buy or sell a classic, collectible, or special interest vehicle, you need to visit the Classic Auto Mall website for more information. If you're looking to buy, you can easily search our inventory of more than 1,000 vehicles on the web at ClassicAutoMall.com. And if you'd like to know all the advantages of selling your car through consignment, the information's available on our website, or you can talk to a classic car specialist who can answer all your questions. It's easy, safe, and convenient. Plus, we sell worldwide. We're always adding new vehicles to our inventory, so make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow us on social media, and check our our website, classicautomall.com.
When it comes to car magazines, are you tired of reading about mega-dollar collector cars you can't afford, or endless reporting on auctions and how-to tech stories that don't interest you? Then Crankshaft is the car magazine for you. Crankshaft is a 144-page softcover quarterly filled with all sorts of fascinating stories, the type of car features you won't find anywhere else. It features American and foreign cars, pre- and post-war era cars of distinction including sports cars, muscle cars, and regular family sedans too. To discover what many car enthusiasts are saying is the best car magazine ever published, you can purchase either a single copy for $12.95 plus $3 postage, or a one-year subscription, four issues, for $59.95. To order your copy, go to www.crankshaftmagazine.com. That's www.crankshaftmagazine.com.
Hey folks, this is Victor with the On Point with Victor show. Make sure you listen every Tuesday 1 to 2, only right here on America's Web Radio, the On Point with Victor show. Remember folks, I'm not angry, I'm just right. And you can find out why every Tuesday from 1 to 2, the On Point with Victor show, only right here on America's Web Radio.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
We're back with the Classic Auto Mall show from the Classic Auto Mall studio with my math wizard over here, Steve Shafir. Yes, we are talking about new inventory here, and we haven't gotten through it, so I'll move a little faster.
All right.
Run through it. How about the 1932 Ford Roadster? Patina black over black. And when you say patina, we mean it's created patina. Mm-hmm. So it is not, oh, the car is just getting worn because of its age. It's designed to look patinaed. And patina means just like a nice worn leather couch where it's got a few cracks and crevices and creases in it.
Yeah.
Very comfortable to sit in, not torn up, not holes in it or anything like that. Just has a nice glow to it, if you will.
Yeah. This is like a racer, so the numbers are faded, the text is faded. It's kind of cool.
Like it would have been back in the day.
Yeah.
And this one is a Brookville frame with a Dearborn-induced body, which is, these things are, I mean, that's the top of the line when it comes
I learned
to,
that. I had no idea.
Comes to doing, well, you're not a hot rod guy.
No, I'm not.
Right? I'm not really either. I'm learning more about them as we go. Certainly do that. This one's got the 255 cubic inch flathead V8, you know, a very solid motor that just lasts forever. Mm-hmm. And surprisingly, the Tremec 5-speed manual transmission. Most of these have an automatic transmission in them.
Oh.
Because the way you have a steering column coming down between your legs, basically, you have to put your foot on either. You have to make a choice,
Oh. And
you have to have your foot either side of the steering wheel. And you can't really brake with your right foot if the brake is on the other side of the steering column. So it can be kind of tricky sometimes. And so that's why a lot of times these things are automatic, because just from a logistical standpoint, it's very difficult to get your feet down there. So a winner's quick change rear end, which is interesting. You can change the gear ratio in these rear ends. You know, you can pop out whatever the gears are in there and put some. And I'm getting a little outside my level of expertise here. But apparently you can change the gearing on these things. So if you wanted more of a top speed or more of a low-end torque or, you know, somewhere in between, you can do that. The problem with a lot of these old cars from back in the day is they need that one extra gear. Mm-hmm. You know, you get a lot of these Model A or a lot of Model A's from the era and pre-war type, you know, 30s cars had I think it's a Columbia two-speed rear end added to them, so they would get a little bit more higher end and they weren't struggling so hard. Because if you get like a 69 Z28 with four-speed manual transmission, and you get into fourth gear and it's got 411 gears, you know, at 60 miles an hour, you sound like the thing's going to blow up.
Right. Really whining. Yeah.
Really, really whining out. You could use that one extra gear.
Mm-hmm. There's nice. A lot of interest. It's interesting how many cars actually came with two-speed transmissions, automatic transmissions.
Yeah. Powerglide. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so adding the second speed in the rear end certainly gave you a little bit more breathing room. And, you know, a lot of these cars were just designed to go really zero to, you know, the end of the quarter mile as quick as they possibly can, and who cared about any of that other stuff? And if it blew up, then you just put a new motor in it.
That's right. Yep.
There were a dime a dozen back then.
Flatheads.
Yeah, flatheads. You could get
everywhere.
And of course, a flathead motor is one of those that you can, it's hard for them to break.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it ran when it stopped, even if it was 30 years ago, it's probably still going to run, you know, which is pretty surprising.
Well, they're still desirable mm-hmm. when you find one in a barn somewhere.
Well, and that's why you see so many cars with those, you know, from the 30s. They're still in the car, still powering the car. Not always the case you find stuff from the 80s and 90s. Some of the some of the transverse mounted 3100 engines that had head gasket problems like you wouldn't believe.
Sure.
And, you know, all these things that happened didn't really happen. They were so, but they were very simple engines as well, too.
I mean, there's
very few moving parts. You had a one barrel carburetor.
No emissions.
No emissions. No anything.
Right.
No radio. No, nothing. Not many. Not many things to go wrong, and what did go wrong usually was fairly easy to fix. So
and that goes for appliances. Really, everything back then was made to last and easy to fix if it needed it, and still run.
Televisions, I mean, they lasted so long. I mean, you still had the big console TV, and it had your new flat screen on top of it, because it was still working. And God forbid the flat screen went out, which it would. Then you still had the old rabbit-eared.
Yeah.
And what were they like? 27 inches was the big one.
You know? It seems like yesterday, right?
Yeah, it's like 95-inch, these flat screens that they have, these curved 95-inch.
Well, the technology's really taken off, and not only cars, but...
Yeah,
but
any kind of electronics.
Audio, visual, yeah.
Audio. Look at what we're able to do, and we talk about this often. We're able to have a studio in here that we couldn't have afforded to do 10 or 15 years ago.
Right.
This would have been... $500,000 to do what we do here now. And with, you know, significantly less than that, we're able to do that or to do this. And it changes the dynamic of everything. That's why you see so many podcasts out there and so many shows and so many people out there creating content because, gosh, your iPhone will take an amazing video. Amazing photographs and amazing a lot of different things. So in your hand, you have the power to do whatever you want. Now, it's like anything. It's like Excel or Microsoft Word, you know. You can be good at it, but you may not know you're not good at it. Like, I'm good at Excel, but there's guys that know Excel that are like, can do all these macro things and make it automatically do stuff and make these beautiful graphs and charts. And I'm good at just, you know, adding up line A and line B and what's the difference.
Sum.
The sum.
Yeah.
And all that.
Well,
but
that's a start. That's more than most people actually.
There's, you know, thousand other things that you can do on there and buttons that you can push and things like that. And cars are like that. I can tell you that a lot of the cars that I drive nowadays and some of the newer stuff that we have, I don't know half of the stuff that's on there. I mean, I found out one of our cars has this massaging seat feature. You know, I mean, it's
that's one I'd learn. Yeah.
And here's the thing. When you would like to have something like that, you'd like it to be instantaneous, like push a button and then the seat starts doing its thing. But it's not that way. You have to scroll through a menu and a screen, and then you have to know which way to go up and down and click and left and right and so on.
Right.
And daka. And before you know it, you know, you've run into the back of the truck in front of you, or you're at your destination, and it's, you know, it's too late.
This is the power of really the success of Doug DeMuro, if you've watched his videos on YouTube. What he does is explain how the entertainment system works. Not so much the engine, horsepower, anything. It's more about
nobody cares.
Right. It's more about what is this car capable of inside for the consumer.
And there are so many things that they will do and so many settings that you can set, and you can, you know, it remembers you and it remembers which key fob you have and which key fob your wife has and all those. Yeah. So where have you been?
I don't know.
It remembers all these things. And of course, you know, it's pretty amazing, the technology. Of course, the scary part is when it goes wrong. And then you take it to the dealer and they go, "Oh, Mr. Howden, you're out of warranty. So sorry to hear that. Guess what?"
Right. Cha-ching.
Yeah, cha-ching. I think I have a cha-ching. I think I know it. I got too many cha-ching things on here. Oh, there it is. Sounds like
a week. Old cash register.
Yeah, a week cha-ching. That's not Pink Floyd's money.
Maybe.
Yeah, it could be from that, or it sounds like that. That sounds more like one of those old cash registers at the drugstore. Remember those big brass things that had the big handles and the big chick, chick.
Now modern technology, you just tap your card.
And I'm not a tapper.
You're
I don't
done.
Like
You're not
to
a tapper.
Tap. I like to put the card into the thing and then pull it back out. And my wife was like, "Come on, get with the program."
How about this 2019 Ford Mustang?
Are you keeping me on track, man?
Back to cars.
The Ford. The 2019 Ford Mustang Shelby GT350, Ford Performance Blue Over Ebony, 8,300 actual miles, 526 horsepower, 5.2-liter Voodoo V8, one of 2,789 built, another Tremec manual transmission. This thing is really cool. It's got a flat plane 5.2-liter Voodoo V8 with electronic fuel injection. This thing will scream, and it's got a sound to it. Like no other.
Yep, that's flat crank. Yep,
yeah.
Sounds great.
And I don't really understand the architecture of that, but there's something in the way that the engine is designed different than what a normal 350 V8 would have been back in the day. It's got a different architecture to it.
Yeah.
And it sounds completely different.
That's right.
But do flat plane cranks in a Corvette and a Mustang sound the same? Or are they got their own distinct sound? We don't know that.
I don't know. Well, podcast at ClassicAutomall.com.
No, let's check it out one of these
days. Yeah, we should. Well, that's a good idea.
8,300 miles, though, on this thing. And it's now 5 years. Hard to believe that 2019 is 5 years
I know,
years
it's
old.
Weird. It is weird.
It's like 1980. Wasn't that 20 years ago?
I know.
No, it wasn't.
Well, a lot of these are not daily drivers, obviously. They're put away. They're low mileage and, you know.
Rare and desirable.
Yeah, so great.
I mean, 2,700 built is a lot. But in the scheme of the world, it's not a lot.
No.
You know, that's not a whole lot of cars. And attrition happens to any type of car, whether it's a Shelby Mustang from the 2019s or from the 50s or the 60s. You have fires, you have floods, you have tornadoes, you have hurricanes, you have accidents.
You burn out when you're leaving Cars and Coffee. Yeah. About a million videos of Mustangs doing that.
Why can I not stop watching that when that comes up? Even though I feel so bad
Corvettes.
For the guy. I feel bad
I feel
the
bad
guy.
For them, too.
I do. It's like, first of all, you've embarrassed the crap out of yourself.
Right.
A,
you didn't have to press on the gas.
Yeah, and B, you have destroyed your car. You know, and you see it all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, there's thousands of videos of these guys doing that. And you wonder... Like my son was telling me that there are guys on YouTube that crash cars like that on purpose because it increases their viewership, and what they get paid to do that compensates for the price of the car.
That is so
you say you go spend $100,000 on a car, but they crash it on YouTube and they get paid $200,000 for doing that. Maybe. So why wouldn't you?
I don't know.
I mean, I couldn't do that.
Yeah.
I couldn't knowingly tear up a good piece of machinery.
I don't need views that bad. That I'm wrecking a car, but...
But, you know, if we could wreck, like, you know, a little Miata or something, and it was only like $8,000 or $9,000, then, you know, we could get back $20,000.
Yeah, let's do the math.
It's like an investment that we're making. So, but these Mustang Shelby GT350s are probably as collectible as anything from Mustang-wise from this era. I think that you'll see the value of that. And with a six-speed manual transmission and 373 gears, you know, probably fun to drive and... Probably will cruise. I mean, it'll go fast and go from point A to point B really quickly and handle. But it'll also just cruise down the highway. You could drive it to Florida probably, and it wouldn't be a big deal. And last but not least, the 1969 Don Long Dragster that we have here. Yellow and multicolor over black. Documented history. NHRA record holder. 400 cubic inch nitromethane gulping Hemi V8. The restoration is, like, amazing.
It's perfect. Yeah.
They took it exactly back to what it was before. They did not.
When new,
yeah. Which was 1969. And this has got a, this car itself has been to Washington, D.C., to the White House.
Yeah, that's right.
Did Nixon drive it?
President Nixon did not drive it. He touched it, though. The roll bar on there, the roll cage, he actually had his hand on.
We're going to do a video of me trying to get in and out of this.
Oh, yeah,
because
that's right.
It is... The rear end is right there where you sit. I mean, it's literally
it's under your knees,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, between your legs, under your knees. And you kind of, I mean, I'm still not quite sure how I'm going to get in. And even more importantly, how I'm going to get out.
Yeah, we'll bring you lunch.
Or a little crane. You can have.
But there's Randy posted some video of this thing running at a tribute show or
Cacklefest.
I don't know, but it's just crazy.
Well, doesn't it have like three? I don't know, something crazy horsepower.
Yeah.
I think I read somewhere, I'll be wrong about this, so why don't we just look it up and see. It's 1,290 pounds. It's got a 400 cubic inch Chrysler Hemi with a GMC 671 supercharger. It ran 663 at ATCO and 653 at Dallas. But what's the engine? I mean, what's the horsepower?
It might be in there somewhere.
I thought it was. I thought it was. Was it 1,000?
Yeah, something like, it's more than 1,000. I remember that.
It's somewhere in here. It's hard to scroll and look for something.
Yeah, classicautomall.com. You can see it on the website with lots of photographs. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing, but I think it's a museum piece. It's not something you want to race because it's a front engine. But I'm not even sure you're allowed to.
I don't think you're, I mean, you may be allowed to do those in vintage stuff, but maybe not even those, I would imagine, because, you know, Don Garlitz, the famous drag racer, lives down in Ocala, Florida now. I was the one who almost got it. We talked about this last week. Got his legs blown off and decided that they should design these things to put the engine behind the driver. Which
smart.
So smart. I mean, you know, obvious things are so obvious sometimes until they are or they aren't. So anyway, when we return, we'll talk a little bit more about some other interesting car stuff happening around the world. We'll see you in a couple minutes.
Ever since the first time you saw it, perhaps even as a child, you knew you wanted one. Now, you're at a point in your life where you have the means to buy and keep one. Your significant other is even in agreement. But where and how can you find one? And trust you know as much as you can about it before the purchase. That's why there's ClassicAutoMall.com. 1,000 classic vehicles of almost every conceivable make, model, and year. All under one climate-controlled roof. You can visit and look to your heart's delight. Or do everything online from the comfort of your own home. Shipping nearly everywhere worldwide. Classic Auto Mall can make your dream come true. Visit the World Wide Web at ClassicAutoMall.com.
Since the 1960s, J.C. Taylor has been America's premier specialty insurance provider for classic cars, antique autos, modified, and custom vehicles. Our customers have trusted us to protect their prized possessions for more than six decades. For more information, or to receive a quote, contact our expert team today by calling 888-ANTIQUE. Or by visiting our website at jctaylor.com/awr. That's 888-268-4783. Or visit jctaylor.com/awr. Drive through time with peace of mind. J.C. Taylor.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages, join me, Roger B., every Tuesday at 1400 hours right here on America's Web Radio for the Locked and Loaded Show. We will talk about guns, weapons, ammo, gun accessories, prepping, and so much more. So be sure to join us every Tuesday at 1400 or 2 p.m. for Locked and Loaded on America's Web Radio.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Back with the Classic Auto Mall Show from the Classic Auto Mall Studios. We were talking about Broncos.
We were.
While we were
in the break.
And we were talking about how cool the new ones are. They're very cool. There's so many variations of the Bronco.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, there's a soft top, there's a hard top, four-door, two-door.
Sasquatch version.
Yeah, some are really big, some are smaller than others.
Sport.
Mm-hmm. Some are the sport ones that are, I guess, probably four-cylinder.
Probably, yeah. I'm not sure what engine is there, but there's...
There's a little bit of everything.
The pedestrian one, yeah.
Yeah, very pedestrian.
So. Yeah. So we were talking that versus the classic and resto mods. That we have some very nice old classic Broncos.
We do. We probably have 10 or 12 Broncos in inventory right now. Another one coming in the next few weeks. When we first started, we would tell people, hey, come in here, be here at noon on Friday, and we'll see you. And then, oh, you come in at 3 on Friday. Mm-hmm. And we knew what was coming in. Now we send out consignment forms to people ahead of time. We don't remember what that we've talked about with them. And all of a sudden, GTS Pantera shows up, or a XKE Jag, or some of the great cars that just show up, and it's like, oh, I forgot about that one.
Yeah. It's sometimes you send them the papers, and it's 6 months before they finally decide.
Yeah,
you
know, or longer. We had a guy we met at the Philly Auto Show in 2018. He brought his car to us in 2022. So it was 4 years later. Hadn't come to the show since then. And what was sort of on the fence about selling it back in 18, and then decided in 2022 that it was time. And, of course, then he brought it, and the market was even better than what we told him. So, you know.
Yes, I'm still waiting for my contacts from the 2019 Philly Auto Show to give me a call.
It's only been 5 years. Come on.
Well, people are on the fence often. I mean, you're unsure whether they want to sell it, and, you know, eventually it comes to that time, and they're ready, and they call us up, and we get the job done.
And I noticed our buddy Steve Bignante is back on YouTube doing some videos. I guess I don't know if he's cured, but I'm not sure what he had, but.
He had encephalitis. And he did one video. I actually watched it again, from the convalescent home. He's actually convalescing.
Right.
So he's not back out in the world yet. He's still have a long way to go, but
sure.
He almost died.
Yeah. Boy. Yeah. Oh, Godspeed.
And he's all right. My age.
Yeah. Yeah, when you say our age, it doesn't include me.
You're over the six. We're still under it. So,
what does that mean?
Well, the 60. That's the big one.
Is that the big one?
It's a big one.
The big one. So, you know.
Big party at my house next year.
Oh, that'll be your 60th.
Yeah.
Wow. Good for you. Happy early birthday. So if I forget, you know.
It's 8 days before yours.
You could just leave me. That's right. It is. It's the 11th of March.
That's right.
Mine is the 19th. So, and maybe by this time next year for your birthday, we'll have me the video getting out of the Don Long Dragsters.
I'd like to have sponsors for my birthday. So hopefully some sponsors will step up and sponsor our fantastic radio show.
I think so. I mean, we have, you know, we're on the radio, we're on podcast sites, we're on YouTube. The YouTube thing has been a lot of fun. We've got the nice graphics going on with it now. We've got
Cobra behind you.
Cobra behind us. And then you're able, as we talked about last week, you're able to see the car that we're talking about. And, you know, cars are such visual things that to talk about them and not see them is a little difficult for maybe a listener to grasp what we're talking about in some of these things. And when you can actually see it with your eyes, you know, we're a very visual society.
And, for sure.
You know, certainly the way that things are and perceptions are people think certain things and then they're proved wrong. And we get people all the time who tell us, you're wrong about that. That's not right. That never came that way. And then we find out that it actually did, and they go, oh, I didn't know that.
Sure, it's all a big education.
Sure. We learn something every day. Do you learn something
every day?
Absolutely,
100%.
Yeah, more than one thing I'm certain you learn. When you write something down, it changes how you remember it. You remember. It's sometimes you can read things and not really read it. You're reading it, but you're not paying enough attention, or you're a little bit distracted, or there's something going on. But when you write something, whether it's either through keyboard or actually just literally physically handwriting something, it changes how you remember things. I think it's a better way to remember things than it is just to hear it sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people are doers, not listeners. You know?
Yeah, it helps me on the floor here too, because I was here last week and somebody was looking at this. We have this one of one Corvette, really, the Corsa Performance Mule. Basically, it was a test car for their titanium exhaust. And
right.
I had just written it and guys were looking at it and I go, you know, that's a one of one. I knew all about it
right.
at the moment. Now, I won't remember next week.
Right. But, say Corsa, what does that mean?
I don't remember half the stuff I write, but it's all there.
Well, you certainly can't commit everything you do to memory, because when you're writing 100, 125 descriptions a month, if you committed all those to memory, eventually your brain would just explode.
It really is.
Which is what happened to Peter, I think.
Yeah, when I hit send, that's the end of that car for now.
You have to forget about it because there's another one or 10 others just sitting there waiting going, hey. What about us?
Yeah, yeah.
We're right here, Steve.
I don't look at the next car until I'm done with a car, so
smart.
It's kind of fun. Then now I say, okay, what's next on the list? Oh.
Yeah.
You know, this is another one of those.
Another one of those.
So we have a lot of some cars.
But some certain cars.
But I like, you know, like that 66 Cadillac, that was a fun car to write.
Sure.
And we have a beautiful, a lot of good stuff that'll be on the website later today.
Mm-hmm.
But a big truck that came in, 4400, Chevrolet 4400, who knew they even existed?
Right.
And I learned all about them.
Yeah, they're heavy-duty trucks that you didn't think that they were making back in the 60s,
right.
But they were. They just weren't.
The 39.
Yeah. And you think about from that era, they didn't advertise. You know, nowadays, big trucks you see all the time, you see them advertised. But back then, if you weren't in the market for one of those, you probably didn't know anything about them.
Right. And if you were, you already knew about them.
You knew everything about them.
Yeah, it's sort of an inside, underground world of big trucks, really.
Yeah, I think so. And of course, they were all over, you know, they were deliveries trucks, they were construction trucks, they were all different things that they utilized those things
for. I'm sorry, it was a 49, 1949 Chevy.
It was a 4400.
Yeah.
4400. What a great truck, though.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And to restore something like that.
Well, the story is great. It was the consigner's great-grandfather bought it new.
Wow.
He sold it. The father of the consigner tracked it down years later and spent 10 years restoring it to as new conditions. So
would that be called a labor of love?
That's a great story. I want to buy it just based on the story because there's a known history. To talk about known history.
Right.
They had it as new.
How would that go over with the wife? I wanted to buy it because it was so nostalgic, honey.
I had to have it. Reasonable, too.
It is,
by the way.
Well, trucks like that, the problem that you run into with fire trucks and large trucks is space and storage and having the ability to store them. And people realize, gosh, I really love that, and I would love to have it, but where would I put it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, my garage isn't tall enough. We get the number one question we get all the time from buyers, especially from long-distance buyers, is, can you go measure the truck for me? Can you measure the car for me?
Nose to tail,
the width of the car, the height of the truck. Measure all these things for me because it probably is not going to fit in my garage. And how terrible would you feel if you bought something really cool and you got it at your house and realized it wouldn't go in your garage?
I'm looking at carports now and, you know, different
bubbles.
Ways. Bubbles, and tents, and it's got to be careful around here because it snows.
Yeah, how about an aluminum building?
That's ultimately what I want to do, but right. it's out of my realm right now. So I'm looking at temporary housing. Right now, I actually rented a storage space for one of the cars.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah.
So now you're one of those guys.
Just to get it out of the rain and
right.
snow.
Yeah. No fun for it to sit outside like that.
Right. It's not. Even with a good cover, it's still damp and the moisture gets up in it. And
we have storage here as well, too. And Space Mall is what it's called. It's a separate company. It's not us, but it's a separate company that leases space here. And stores cars and you'd be surprised how many people from Philly store, you know, I say all the way up here. It's not that far really. Mm-hmm. It's about an hour on a good day.
Yeah.
It's 45 minutes on a good day from Philly and it's an hour or two on a bad day.
Yeah. It can be on a rainy day like today. It took almost an hour.
Yeah. It's a little bit longer, but not too terrible. You know, people don't have the space to store their cars anymore.
Mm-hmm.
People are living in downtown areas or in condos with one garage space. And, you know, they've got two cars. Now they get a classic car. There's a third car in the mix. Where are you going to park three cars if you only have a garage space for one? And you certainly don't want to leave them outside.
Mm-hmm.
And I certainly don't like to park outside. I don't want to come out to a cold or snowy.
That's right.
You know, clean off snow off my car.
And you're not going to kick the wife's car out of the two-car garage.
Well, I mean, you could, but then you'd lose half of everything that you own.
You'd have a full garage.
Yeah, you'd have the availability to park whatever you wanted to in the garage, right? And, and you'd be lonely, but, you know, lonely with a garage space.
And your cars.
You and your cars. Just sitting out there thinking, you know. I've had some ex-wives, so you know how that goes. My first ex-wife said to me on the plane ride from Los Angeles, California to Knoxville, Tennessee, do they even have like a McDonald's in Knoxville?
That's what she was concerned about.
She was a little concerned about our culture. And, you know, to grow up in Southern California and move to Knoxville, Tennessee in the early 80s was probably a little bit of a culture shock.
Right.
A lot of
fast food places started in California, right, and then moved across the country.
But did they even have like a McDonald's? It's quite a slur. It was meant as a slur. It wasn't meant as a open-ended question. It was meant as, has this place even got running water?
Diss on Knoxville, Tennessee.
Yeah, Knoxville, Tennessee. So I saw, was it yesterday or a couple of days ago, the Tesla Cybertruck sold for $160,000 on Bring a Trailer.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And these things are, you know, love them or hate them, or love them or hate them or hate them. I don't know. One or the other. They're very angular and stainless steel. And I've seen some wrapped in colors, and they look kind of interesting.
Yeah.
What was the color that we – was there a black one?
I saw a black one,
It looked pretty – actually didn't – it looked better, I thought, in the color, in the black than in the stainless. But $160,000, which is a lot of money. I think they were – list price is about $140,000 or something like that, or maybe even $120,000. But apparently there's a Cyber Beast coming out, or is out.
Okay.
That both are 2024 models. But the Cyber Beast has 50% more G-force acceleration. 130 miles per hour top speed versus 112 on the Cybertruck. 0 to 60 and 2.6 on the Cyber Beast. And not 3.9, a lowly 3.9 in the Cybertruck.
Slow.
And the last truck, Cybertruck for 160, the Cyber Beast, there's one on one of the auction sites that said 150 with 5 days to go.
Huh.
So probably going to sell for more than the Cybertruck. I didn't even know that I haven't paid much attention to those. It's not something that interests me a whole lot, other than I'm interested in the technology and that they actually built something that, you know.
Yeah, but a lot of people think they're ugly.
And a lot of people think they're cool.
Given the option, I'd probably go with a Raptor R.
Yeah, I would think that I would go for something a little bit more mainstream.
Yeah, but I get it. The technology's cool and everything like that, but the shape is definitely it kind of reminds me of a DeLorean with the stainless steel.
It absolutely does. Yeah. I mean, I would imagine that you'd have a DeLorean parked in your garage right next to the Cybertruck would make a lot of sense.
It'd be cool.
Yeah, and then if you actually painted it, then you know. Of course, on the other end of the spectrum, when you talk about pricing and that kind of pricing, I just saw where a Honda XR75 sold for $7,500.
XR75?
Yeah.
What is that?
A Honda. XR75.
Is it it's a motorcycle.
Yes, it's a dirt bike.
Okay.
Back in the 70s.
Right. We were talking about that. We were talking about mini bikes last week.
Yeah. Just sold for $7,500. I paid $200 for mine, $250 for my next one, And then my brand new 1974 Yamaha MX-100 was $400
wow.
in 1974.
Incredible.
But I was the king of the hill with that thing. So when we return, we'll be next week. Catch you next time on the Classic Auto Mall Show.
You've been listening to the Classic Auto Mall Show with your host, Stuart Howden. Executive producer, Steve Saphir. Produced and engineered by yours truly, J.R. Russ. Available on ClassicAutoMall.com, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Music courtesy of the Pat Travers Band. For tour dates, contact, and stuff, visit PatTravers.com. Produced by Car Smarts Media. Copyright all rights reserved.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.